This is Red Valley Fog.
And you're listening to
WMCB 107.9 FM.
Greenfield.
Up next is a rebroadcast of The Enviro Show. This episode of The Enviro Show was recorded live in the studios of WXOJLP, Northampton.
The air is polluted, the atmosphere overloaded with carbon, forests are stressed, and government is broke. So what is the Patrick administration planning to do about it? Chop down and burn forests to fuel huge, taxpayer-subsidized, polluting biomass power plants, of course. In the spirit of George Bush's clear skies and healthy forests, the Patrick administration promotes cutting and burning of forests as green energy, even though these biomass power plants pollute more than fossil fuels. To make matters worse, the administration is directing green energy subsidies to build these new smokestacks, which would devastate forests, pollute the air, emit millions of tons of carbon, make rich people richer, and yet only create 1% more power. Please speak up for the forest by calling Governor Patrick at 888-870-7770 and ask him to stop permitting dirty biomass power plants and let the trees live. For more information, see maforests.org.
Now, it's the Enviro Show, coming to you on WMCB 107.9, Low Power FM, Greenfield.
That's great, it starts with an earthquake, birds and snakes, an airplane, Lenny Bruce is not afraid. I have a hurricane, listen to yourself, churn world, serve its own needs, dummy, serve your own needs, feed it up an ox, speak, grunt, no strength, the ladder starts to clatter with. Slash and burn, return, listen to yourself churn. Locking in, uniform and book burning, blood letting, every motive escalate, automotive centering. Light a candle, light a motive, step down, watch your heel crush, crush. Uh-oh, this means no fear, cavalier, renegade, steer clear. A tournament of lies. Offer me solutions, offer me alternatives, and I decline.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world.
Earthlings, Happy winter solstice on this, the first Enviro show to actually fall on the solstice, and the first time in 372 years that a full lunar eclipse falls on the same day. Of course, you couldn't see it last night.
Oh, it was a bummer.
But you could have gone on the web and seen it. Anyway, Dio here. I'm here with
Glenn Ayers.
Gene Grosshold.
And we have guests.
Malcolm McNee.
Simone Gugliotta.
All right. It's a full house winter solstice party. Hey, let's light the bonfire. Everybody ready?
All right. Okay. Yes. Good. I can hear that one.
Here comes the fire.
Oh, the sprinklers went off. Oh, no.
Happy winter solstice, everyone.
Woohoo!
All right. Let's see. Okay. With that in mind, of course, we're going to forego the usual bad news and carryings on and all those segments. And we're going to honor the season with Earth-inspired sound, maybe a few rants. And maybe we should start right off with one of my favorite tunes. This is Paul Winter Consort's Wolf Eyes, and we'll be talking about wolves later in the show as well, and get a call in. So check it out.
Oh.
All right. Some beautiful call and response there, although they cut out the last wolf call. We pulled that off of YouTube. Hey, speaking of wolves, it looks like Interior Secretary Ken Salazar is trying to remove protections so his Western Rancher friends can kill the wolves at will. So please go to our blog. Just Google in the Enviro Show and take action. You click on the link. Oh, did we say wolves? What about wolverines? They need protection too. There's another link. There's a...
Yeah.
Check it out. Also in need of protection is our national forest. This from Beth sent us a link on that.
Yeah, I just want to say wolverines, there are only 300 wolverines. The population is down to 300 in the lower 48. So that's, you know, that's teetering right on the brink of the point of no return.
Hardly viable.
And about the forest, those people who are interested should take a look at, we're going to announce it later, Les Campbell has a whole bunch of pictures on at the Science Library at UMass from now until the 6th of January from 9 to 5 every day. And those are pictures of the Quabbin area. And if you want to see why we have to protect our forests, you can see anybody who's lived here for a while and sees what Quabbin looks like now, what it used to look like in the past, and what it's likely to look like if we don't do something. It's a good thing to do.
Right.
So just check out the blog. Check out these links on protecting the forest, wolverines and the wolves. And besides playing some music on our winter solstice show, we're going to do a few little commentaries, and I have a winter solstice commentary now. The winter solstice is upon us. It's the return of the light, the Yule time, the rebirth of the sun's power, and a time of enlightenment. So how is it so many people in this land are unenlightened? What has become of wisdom and common sense? It seems basic survival instinct, perhaps the foundation of common sense, has been cast aside by those who place more value in value than in the preservation of not only their own species, but most other species as well. The wisdom inherent in not fouling one's own nest has been negated by the will to have the biggest, most extravagant nest around. The common sense of mutual aid has been usurped by senseless domination mindsets, greed, and self-centeredness. Far too many people are stumbling around in the darkness, not unlike drowning victims trying to drag the rest of us down with them. Politicians and corporate operatives continue to reject all the vast scientific evidence compiled over years and years of research on climate disruption, species extinction, the degradation of our water and atmosphere, the very elements we and future generations need to survive. What are they thinking? How can they do this to themselves and their loved ones? Enlightened psychologists may have the answers to those questions, but do we have time for their treatment to succeed? I think not. Maybe it's up to the ancient powers of nature to enlighten them, but given the depths of darkness those individuals seem to dwell in and the degree to which our planet has been trashed by humanity, I fear the forms such light might bring. In any case, let there be light. Solstice greetings.
Nice. Happy solstice. Everyone out there listening, I have a little celebratory tune I'd like to play, very, very short one, to get us in the spirit. This is the Kingston Trio.
Oh, yeah.
Kingston Trio. Yeah,
they're old.
When's the last time you
Glenn, you're
Kingston
dating yourself.
Trio?
And this is called the Merry Minuet.
They're rioting in Africa. They're starving in Spain. There's hurricanes in Florida, and Texas needs rain. The whole world is
is festering with unhappy souls. The French hate the Germans hate the Poles. Italians hate Yugoslavs, South Africans hate the Dutch. And I don't like anybody very much. But we can be tranquil and thankful and proud, for man's been endowed with a mushroom-shaped cloud. And we know for certain that some lovely day someone will set the spark off, and we will all be blown away. They're rioting in Africa. There's strife in Iran. What nature doesn't do to us will be done by our fellow man.
All right. All right.
Solstice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the... To get into the celebratory mood there, the Kingston Trio, that's an old one from way back in the 60s.
Well, doesn't it make you feel a little bit better that people, you know, back in the 50s and 60s thought that it was the end of the world, too,
yeah,
as we do? Maybe this doom and gloom that we're...
Oh, yeah.
But our doom and gloom is a whole lot worse than
you
it
know,
was.
You know, it's amazing
story.
how up-to-date that song is, even though it's 40 years old, right?
Yeah,
so same old, keeps coming around. Anyway, what are we going to do next here?
Oh, let's check the bonfire out. Oh, it's still doing good. Gene wanted to play a song that we played a few shows back.
Oh, yeah.
The Spill Baby Spill.
I got a little Seeger. Yeah, a little excerpt from that Pete Seeger song.
That's right.
And when drill, baby drill, turns to spill, baby, spill, God's counting on me. God's counting on you. Try it. Yes, when bill, baby, drill, turns to spill, baby, spill, God's counting on me. God's counting on you. Sing it with harmony. Hope it will all come through. Hope it will all come through. Hope it will all through me and you.
Yeah, that was just a little bit of it, but Pete
but
Seeger,
you get the idea.
Still at it after all these years.
Yes,
what a treasure.
Inspired by the horrendous BP oil spill that summer.
Yep, and there was an effort this last year to nominate Pete for a Nobel Prize, which I hope continues again in the next round, mm-hmm. because I think if anybody deserves, a lifetime of activism.
For peace.
Yeah, for peace and for the environment. Yep.
Yep.
It'd be great.
Yeah. And speaking of that, and speaking of Pete, what I am trying to figure out is a way to call together a lot of people in this valley who are concerned about not only the environment, but all of these other issues, all of which they're linked together, and they spring from the fact that our institutions no longer work and that our government is deeply flawed. It doesn't work. It's broken. And what should we be doing about it? And I think we need, as citizens, to come up with some ideas that we're going to ask the government to change. We need to change the tax code for sure. We need to get rid of the Senate. I don't know. We need to think about what would put control of the government back in the hands of the people.
Right.
For example, what's going on now with the argument about the new treaty with the Russians?
Right.
Some of the stuff that I'm sure that they're dickering with down there and negotiating over are new nuclear weapons.
The next generation
weapons, which we don't need, which will only cost us a lot of money, which won't do any good at all, and which will just irritate everybody in the world. Right. So, and use up the environment in the process.
Exactly.
And we don't need them. But somebody benefits from it. These big corporations make a lot of money on this. And it's not just the weapons companies. There's a whole lot of others that are involved. And, of course, the senators who have these people in their backyard get a lot of money from. So that's going to happen, and that's going to be part of the compromise and the negotiation. And we can't have this going on.
No.
We can't.
Imagine how much energy it takes to mine all of the uranium and, you know, all of the nuclear materials and then refine them and then put them into a form that will, you know, blow up something and then maintain them for all those years when you never intend to use them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you did use them, you would destroy the earth, but you're destroying the earth in the process of making them. The amount of energy that that takes and how much of, you know, global climate change is due to the nuclear military industrial complex, we need to get rid of the whole thing. We just need to, we need to, like Einstein said, you know, we need to think in a totally different way.
Right. There was an article on the op-ed page of the New York Times last week, or maybe the week before, but it was two gentlemen who had been worked in those missile silos where they, and they were saying how stupid that whole thing was, how much money was wasted, and how much of it is still going on. And there, it was a very good article. I'll bring it in next thing and give people a word on it, and we can put it on the blog.
Yes.
But it just shows you how insane this whole thing is.
It is. It's a, and it, it's a form of insanity.
And any reasonable government or any reasonable government that listened to the popular will, these things would not happen.
Yeah.
So something's wrong.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And all the fear and hysteria that was created during the 50s, especially in, into the early 60s, where you had all the kids having to go underneath their school desks and have bad dreams about the end of the world and all that. It had a great psychological effect.
Duck and cover.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, an entire generation.
Well, we lived for years under the policy called MAD, Mutually Assured Destruction.
Right, right.
That's how we lived.
Right. Yeah.
And now they want to go back to it?
Yeah.
Forget it.
Well, maybe they're tired of the fear of terrorism. You know.
Well, I think they're scared. The only thing that scares them now is the idea that Iran will have the same thing, you know?
Right.
I don't know. I don't know what scares them anymore.
I don't know.
But we have to find out what it is and do it.
Yes.
Right. Right. You can't, okay, we can't have a winter solstice party without fun and games, right?
Okay.
So if folks go to the blog, Santa needs help. He's being attacked by Republican elves. They're elves disguised. They're Republicans disguised as elves. Google in the Enviro Show. Click on that link. Help Santa. This is important.
Yes.
Yes, and it's fun too.
All right. I have another short tune. We could a solstice-y kind of tune we
all
could
right.
play. And then we're coming up on an interview at 7 o'clock.
Right.
So,
about wolves.
So we're getting close. So this is Meat Puppets, a band called the Meat Puppets, one of my favorites.
Meat? Are you saying meat?
Meat Puppets, yeah, meat.
M-E-A-T.
Meat Puppets, which is a derogatory term for fashion models, actually.
How do you know that?
It's just trivia. Trivial Pursuit.
Anyway,
this is a song called Severed Goddess Hand.
Severed?
Screaming, I want to find, I'll tell you what I find.
The goddess is angry. That's the right.
And let's do a quick station ID. It's straight up 7 o'clock.
And this is Dana Robinson.
And this is Susan Robinson.
And you're listening to WMCB 107.9 FM Greenfield.
From the Center for Biological Diversity, national plan would focus on saving existing wolf populations and returning wolves to West Coast, New England, Southern Rockies, and the Great Plains. This today, Washington Center for Biological Diversity today filed a formal notice of intent to sue the Interior Department for failing to develop a recovery plan for wolves in the lower 48. Such a plan is required by the Endangered Species Act, and according to today's notice, should have been developed 30 years ago or more. In July, the center submitted a scientific petition to Interior's Fish and Wildlife Service. By the way, we have our local Fish and Wildlife Service
right in
Eastern
Hadley.
Headquarters in Hadley on Route 9.
Right.
In case you want to go visit and have a word with them. And
it's behind the Five College Center.
Right.
Five College Credit Union.
Right,
and there's
Staples.
A beautiful place there to watch birds.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful place for watching and listening to birds. So you can go listen to the birds and then go shout at the... at the forest people.
That's the wetland that they had to
create, I think. Yeah, mitigation.
Mitigation, yep. Right. But it's nice.
Yeah, so we're expecting a call from Noah Greenwald, right?
Right. The national plan would provide a roadmap for recovering existing wolf populations and returning wolves to some of their historic range around the country. Suitable wolf habitat exists in the Pacific Northwest, California, Great Basin, Southern Rocky Mountains, Great Plains, and New England. Quote, wolves are an integral part of this country's natural history and need a national recovery plan now, said Noah Greenwald, endangered species director at the center. Although wolves have made important strides toward recovery in parts of the Northern Rockies and Great Lakes, these areas represent less than 5% of their historic range. As we call on Interior Secretary Ken Salazar to stop playing politics and use his legal authority to do right by the wolf. Close quote. So with the passage of the Endangered Species Act back in 1973, four subspecies of wolves were originally protected under the Endangered Species Act. The Mexican gray wolf, Northern Rocky Mountain wolf, Eastern Timber wolf, and the Texas gray wolf. Because of questions about the validity of these subspecies, protection of the wolf was consolidated to include all wolves in the lower 48 back in 78.
You got it?
What's that?
Is that a wolf? Do I hear a wolf in the background? Hey, Noah.
Just a golden doodle wolf.
Welcome to the Enviro Show. This is Glenn, and you're in the studio here with Dio and Gene and a few other friends. And we're doing a Solstice show, and we wanted to talk specifically about the Center for Biological Diversity and the notice of intent to sue that was filed today. And could you fill our listeners in on what's happening with trying to protect the wolf in the lower 48?
Sure. So under the Endangered Species Act, the Fish and Wildlife Service is required to develop recovery plans for all species that are protected as threatened or endangered. And in the case of the wolf was, it's sort of an interesting and twisted tale, but the wolf was originally listed in precursors to the Endangered Species Act, but as four separate subspecies. And actually, the subspecies that were listed didn't include the whole range of wolf. It was the Northern Rockies wolf, Great Lakes wolf, Mexican gray wolf, and Texas gray wolf. In 1978, those listings were all combined, and the wolf was listed as one entity in the lower 48 states, reflecting the fact that wolves did range widely across the country. But for some reason, the Fish and Wildlife Service never developed a national recovery plan, never developed a recovery plan for the listed entity. Instead, they continued with recovery plans for the Great Lakes wolf, the Northern Rockies wolf, and the Mexican gray wolf. And so because of that, it's limited recovery to a very small portion of the species' historic range, and And, for example, one place that's been totally left out of that scheme is New England.
Uh-oh.
Where scientists do estimate there was good wolf habitat.
We're not happy about that, are we?
Yeah. No. And I know, for example, there was a wolf that's, you know, there's been recent wolf sightings even in as far south as Massachusetts.
There was just a wolf killed here last year that came down apparently from Canada. It was definitely, the DNA checked out, it was a wild wolf. It was shot over in Shelburne Falls, which is not very far from where we're sitting right now.
Right.
Yep. So we also in this area have a pretty large contiguous habitat called the Quabbin Reservoir, which is the water supply for the city of Boston, all the suburbs. And that's a pretty large area that my feeling is could sustain wolves for a long time. They didn't allow any hunting in there. And there was the highest population of deer there anywhere in the state. They totally destroyed the regeneration of small trees. Mm. And they did open it up for hunting, but it would be a lot easier and a lot better for the environment if they got some wolves in there to handle the deer population instead of allowing hunters in with, you know, their four-wheel drive vehicles and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, completely.
Yep. So we are definitely on with this. What's the next stages for this? Is this a 60-day notice or something like that?
Yeah, that's right. So under the Endangered Species Act, if you're going to sue the Secretary of Interior or anyone actually under that law, you have to give 60 days notice. So that's what we've done today, is provided Secretary of Interior Salazar notice that we will file suit over their, you know, more than 30 years long delay of a recovery plan.
And Noah, let me just say, if you need anybody locally to join on to that lawsuit, somebody with standing here in New England, especially in Massachusetts, I'll volunteer to put my name on that. You know, because I hike in the Quabbin area all the time, and you know, I'm an avid outdoorsman, and I would love to have wolves in New England. So, I mean, we have the Adirondacks, we have some fantastic habitat that wolves should be in, and they should, without a doubt, be part of the recovery process.
Oh, thanks very much, Glenn.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. So sign me up wherever.
A couple shows from now, we're going to have folks from Restore the North Woods to talk about that issue as well.
Restoring wolves to the Adirondacks.
Yeah, attacks, yes. And up into Maine. Too.
Yep, and into Maine, yeah. For sure. Yeah, so... if people want to find out more about this, where do they go?
Well, they could go to our website, which is www.biologicaldiversity.org.
All right. And I just want to put a plug in for the Center for Biological Diversity. In my opinion, one of the best kick-ass environmental groups out there. They do unbelievable work, and it's a network of activists across the country. And it's one of the best groups that I know of as far as, you know, really doing stuff and not caving in to corporate interests and, you know, not being co-opted by a lot of other groups, you know, that we have here in Massachusetts, for instance, who are in partnership with the, you know, government and, you know, wanting to do work on trails, you know, when we're losing habitat at an unbelievable rate. So the best way to protect habitat is to protect the species that need that habitat, and like you're saying, designate large areas for the protection of these keystone species like the wolf.
Well, thanks very much, Glenn.
Yeah, excellent.
And Noah, before you ring off, could you give the listeners a quick overview of what it might look like after the 60-day period is over with this?
Sure. So at that point, we'll... the next move for us will be to file a complaint in federal district court, and we're still trying to figure out where exactly that would happen. And then, you know, it would essentially go through the legal process, which takes, you know, roughly 6 months to a year.
Uh-huh.
And if we win, you know, at that point, the Fish and Wildlife Service would be ordered to develop a national recovery plan for the lower 48 wolf. And if we lose, then stuck where we are, which is sort of recovery in a small subset of the wolf's historic range and even current suitable habitat.
Right. Yeah. You're just saying earlier that U.S. Fish and Wildlife Eastern Division is located right here in the valley, so we could always have a visit over there.
We could. We could get a group of people to go over to the Fish and Wildlife Service and lobby them. Yes.
That's a good idea. Thanks.
Yes.
In a very public way.
To put pressure on the law office always does help. And I know that, I imagine that was the office that had to deal with the enforcement action over the shot wolf.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
Very good. Hey, thanks so much for coming on, and happy solstice, Noah.
And one more time, what's the web address?
It's www.biologicaldiversity.org.
And people that go to that address can download the complaint, a copy of the notice of intent to sue, and also the request that was filed earlier this year with the Interior Department. Those are both on the site as a PDF download and make for very salacious reading. So please check that out, and good luck, and keep us posted on this, please.
Thanks much, and I sure will.
All right.
Thank you.
Excellent work.
Take care. Happy solstice.
You too. Thanks.
Bye. Bye.
I just wanted to say that, back in the mid-80s, I was a wolf activist out in Colorado.
That's right.
And worked very hard out there to get a habitat survey done. We had a great senator at the time, Tim Wirth, who worked to get some legislation enacted and got the Fish and Wildlife Service some funding. And they did study the Northern Rockies and found that there was suitable habitat there for wolves.
Right, right. And I believe that you were dealing with the South San Juans as part of that habitat. Because when we were in Durango in 96, there was still talk about getting wolves into the San Juans. So what are we doing here? Are we closing in on a little more music?
Yeah, I have another tune up here from NoFX, rock band, one of my favorites, and it is called Franco and American.
All right.
I never thought about the universe, it made me feel small. Never thought about the problems of this planet at all. Global warming, radioactive sites, imperialistic wrongs, and animal rights. No! Why think all the bad things when life is so good? Why up with an M when there's always a could? Let the whales worry about the poisons in the sea. Outside of California, it's foreign policy. I don't want changes, I've no reactions. Your dilemmas are my distractions. That's the way to go, Franco, an American. No way to go, Franco, an American. No way to go, Franco, an American. No way to go, Franco, Franco, an American. Somehow it's in, now I'm always depressed. And now I can't sleep from years of apathy. All because I read a little Noam Chomsky. I'm eating vegetation cause of fast food nation. I wear a couple shoes cause of globalization. I'm watching Michael Moore expose the awful truth. I'm listening to Public Enemy and Reagan Youth. I see no world peace cause of zealous armed forces. I eat no breath mints cause I'm from the hoof horses. Now I can't believe what an absolute failure. The president's laughing cause he voted for Nader. That's no way to go, Franco, an American. No way to go, Franco, an American. No way to go, Franco, an American. Where can we go, Franco, an American? I wanna move north and be a Canadian. Or hang down low with the nice Australians. I don't wanna be another I-don't-care-again. What are we gonna do, Franco? Franco, an American.
All right, NoFX. Great song. They're one of my favorite bands. That's off of an album called The War on Errorism, which came out while Bush and Cheney were infesting the White House. And I never thought we'd survive those days, but we did. But the song is still great. So
now we're in the Obama
era.
What's
the name of the group again?
NoFX. NoFX. A punk rock band. They've been around for a long time. But they play, danceable punk kind of music. Yeah. Great band. Yeah. Very, very social.
I gotta check out the Solstice Bonfire. Oh, still going.
And
we haven't burned down the studio yet.
No. No, but we do have I do have a few more songs that
we could
play.
What do you got?
Or we could, you know, whatever.
Well,
we got 15 minutes to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, so last 5 minutes.
You got that song from Para.
I do have a song by Paranoise, a local band from Paranoise. Hartford, which is another great song, which it's nice to follow up with this. I don't know if you caught the lyrics of that last song in Franco and American. They mentioned Noam Chomsky and Howard Zinn, and this song has Noam Chomsky rapping in it.
Really?
I think, yeah. You have to hear it, but it's a great song. So, yeah, this is a band called Paranoise,
yes.
And it's the tune is Private Power.
We played this years ago.
We did.
Private Power. Private Power. Highly concentrated Private Power. Private Power. Private Power. Highly concentrated, unaccountable private power, private power, private power. Highly concentrated, unaccountable private power determines what goes on. Vast private power. Nobody has a word to say about it. Nobody knows anything about it. Highly concentrated, vast, unaccountable private power. Nobody has a word to say about it. Nobody knows anything about it. Concentrated, unaccountable, vast totalitarian system. Nobody has a word to say about it, and for the most part, nobody knows anything about it. Highly concentrated, vast, unaccountable private power. Vast totalitarian control. Vast concentrated totalitarian unaccountable private power determines what goes on. Nobody knows anything about it. Vast move towards a kind of totalitarian system. This is a business-run society. Unaccountable business-run society. Unaccountable business-run society. And that's a level of totalitarian control that has very rarely been reached in the world, if ever. Vast move towards a kind of totalitarian system in which highly concentrated, unaccountable private power determines what goes on. Nobody has a word to say about it. For the most part, nobody knows anything about it. And this is expected to continue. Highly concentrated, vast move towards unaccountable private business-run society. Nobody has a word to say about it. Vast private power. And that's a level of highly concentrated, vast, unaccountable private power and totalitarian control that has very rarely been reached in the world, if ever. This is a vast, unaccountable totalitarian system. Nobody has a word to say about it. Nobody has a word to say about it. Nobody has a word to say about it. Nobody knows anything about it. Nobody knows anything about it. Nobody knows anything about it. This is a totalitarian system. And this is expected to continue. Private power determines what goes on. 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 Private power determines what goes on.
We've been programmed now for years. And they know how to play on our fears. Getting the words just right. They take away any urge that we have to fight. Is there nothing left for me? There is nothing left for you. Is there nothing left for me? There is nothing you can do. Why is this private power not ours?
Highly concentrated private power determines what goes on. Highly concentrated private power determines what goes on. Concentrated, unaccountable private power, concentrated, unaccountable private power, vast totalitarian control of the totalitarian system, vast totalitarian control of the totalitarian system. This is a business-run society.
That's quite good.
Noam Chomsky.
Noam Chomsky, the rapper.
That's the solstice fire in the background.
Yeah, do you think we should put it out?
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
There we go.
Happy solstice, everyone.
Happy solstice.
How about a bus stop billboard?
Sounds good.
Before we go.
You want to start?
Sure, go for it.
No, you start because I've scribbled all over mine. I can't read it.
Saturday, December 25th. That would be what they call Christmas Day. 11 a.m. to noon. Peace on Earth. Hey, that's appropriate. Greenfield's weekly peace vigil on the town common. Info on that, call 522-5932. Hey, while you're there, check out the winter solstice display. It's right next to the creche. Check it out. Also, peace vigil in Northampton in front of the county courthouse on Main between Gothic and King. Rain or shine or snow. Deep freeze, whatever. Same day, Saturday, December 20th.
Okay, Sunday, December 26th, noon to 1 p.m., the Amherst Peace Vigil takes place on the Amherst Commons at noon on Sundays. It has been going since the early 1970s. Call 413-549-4515 for information.
You're right. It's a very visible vigil.
That's right.
Saturday, January 1st. Now, that would be what they call New Year's Day, 11 a.m. to noon. Resolve, New Year's resolution, to work for peace. Greenfield's weekly peace vigil on the town common, also in Northampton in front of the courthouse.
Saturday, January 8th, 10:30 a.m. to 2 p.m., Great Falls Discovery Center, 2 Avenue A, Turner's Falls. Join us the second Saturday of every month for a day of children's activities. Daily activities may include crafts, games, investigations, or outdoor adventures. Call ahead for current program details at 413-863-3221.
Now until January 6th, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., exhibit Glimpses of the Pre-Quabbin Swift River Valley and the Quabbin Reservoir of Today. UMass Science Library, Floor 2, Letterly... low rise, which I guess is a building. The exhibit features 39 nature photographs by Les Campbell, who has received many honors, including 4 of the highest awards given by the Photographic Society of America. His photographs have appeared in National Geographic, National Audubon, and elsewhere. You want info on that? you should call 413-545-1370.
You should know that Campbell had a 45-year career working at the Quabbin Reservoir and founded the Quabbin Visitor Center.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yep. Excellent. Mm-hmm. All right. So this is Glenn Ayers.
This is Dio saying adios.
This is Jean Grossholt's Happy Solstice.
And say goodbye to our guest in the studio. Happy Solstice, folks.
Happy Solstice.
And we'll be back 2 weeks with The End of the World. And we're speaking of The End of the World. This is the flip side of that. This is John Lennon's War is Over. So not only Happy Solstice, but Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah.
Happy everything.
Happy everything.
So this is Christmas. What have you done? Another year over, and you won't just be gone. And so this is Christmas. I hope you have fun. The near and the dear ones.
It's been 8 years since Cape Wind first proposed a massive power plant in Nantucket Sound, just miles off our beaches. And all along, they've said that if 130 wind turbines go up, our electric bills would go down. But the fact is, this power plant would actually raise our bills and gobble up hard-earned taxpayer dollars that Cape Wind is counting on to subsidize their project. In fact, the federal government has said Cape Wind's power would cost more than double wholesale rates. It's just too expensive. Yet Cape Wind, a private developer, pushes on, making false promises to saddle us with an expensive power plant that would ruin Nantucket Sound forever. So, after 8 years, why don't we know if our monthly electric bills would go up $25, $35, or even more? The battle is far from over, and we will win only with your continued support. Please donate or volunteer today. Go to SaveOurSound.org. Because once Nantucket Sound is gone, it's gone forever.